Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. We close out September showcasing a pair of new dramas kicking off October. ABC's newbie this Sunday night is 10 Days in the Valley, uniting Rookie Blue co-creator with the closer star, Kara Sedgwick. Creator executive producer Taxi Cameron joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Extinct will take BYU TV's viewers to an Earth existing 400 years from now where aliens rule the range. We've got 3 of the key players coming your way next half hour. Co-creator and associate producer Aaron Johnson, producer Adam Abel, and director Ryan Little. And also on tap, a classic trivia question winner. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Delighted you're with us as we wrap up this final Friday of September 2017. With the program All About Television. Wherever you are, I am delighted that you are with us. We have a great hour in store for you, some wonderful guests from all over the place, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple to be in the conversation. Raise your voice, pick up the phone, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number's been anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. Another way you get involved is our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. 65 degrees at the top of this hour here in the New York metro area. Before we get to our first guest, some news note quickies. Marlon, the NBC sitcom on this summer with Marlon Wayans, has been renewed for a second season. In the meantime, Jared Carmichael, whose Carmichael show ended after 3 seasons this summer on NBC, now has a new multi-show deal with 20th Television. And finally, the man that made Epics tick, that's the pay service that's been around for a decade, Mark Greenberg, has decided to leave after the end of this year. No word yet on a replacement in his job as president and chief executive officer. And that is news notes for today. Our first guest is the creator and executive producer of ABC's new series, 10 Days in the Valley, that premieres this Sunday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And she has this program, not only that, but she is also the executive producer of the critically acclaimed new series, Mary Kills People, which will have its second season on Lifetime next year. And that's where we find her, at the set of Mary Kills People in Toronto, Canada. We welcome in from there, in Air Radio Sousa, 10 Days in the Valley creator and executive producer, Taffy Cameron. Taffy, welcome in.
Thank you so much. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine. How are you feeling a couple of days before your newest series goes on the air on ABC?
Oh, I feel very calm, cool, and collected. No, I'm terrified, nervous, excited, thrilled.
You've done quite a lot of work in television on both sides of the border, Canada and the United States. Rookie Blue, which for 6 seasons was on ABC, as well as on Canadian television. Mary Kills People, which you're working on right now. How different, in terms of your overall work, is 10 Days?
I would say that 10 Days is serialized than Rookie Blue, which, there was serial elements to Rookie Blue, but, it had a strong procedural engine. This is 10 Days is 10 episodes set over 10 days, very compressed timeline, and very serialized. And it's also, I would say, in some ways more personal than some of the other work I've done. There's a bit of me in everything I do, but, obviously I'm writing about somebody who does my job and who has a kid. And so it's a real passion project.
What's the bit of you that's here?
Well, the bit of me that's here is, and, Jane Sadler, the character that Kira plays, and I are not at all the same, just to be really clear. But the fact that it's at its heart a series or a story about juggling a very intense job with being a parent and making mistakes in both spheres, because you just are going to, the work-life balancing that she struggles with is certainly something I struggle with myself.
And it seems that that struggle, or how you're portraying that struggle on your series, was what I understand got Kira Sedgwick to be involved, not only as a star, but to work alongside you as an executive producer.
Yeah, I think Kira really related to the themes of the show. And I mean, she first of all, she always says that the script surprised her. She didn't know where it was going, and that's unusual for her. So that was one reason. But I think the themes of motherhood and working in this industry specifically, obviously she's done that for many, many years, and the kind of guilt you feel and the pressure you feel to be great on all fronts and the impossibility of being great on all fronts spoke to her. And she's, you know, she came in as the star, yes, but also as an EP, and has been integral all the way through.
Mm-hmm. This is Kira's first starring role since her Emmy-winning turn in The Closer, which a lot of people still remember, and remember very, very fondly, because whenever she takes on a role, television otherwise, she always brings a lot of multi-dimensions to it, a lot of life to it, and it really showed in The Closer, and it also shows here, too. And I'm wondering if there is a side to the portrayal that she takes from your words, from your plot line, that you did not expect once you put it on camera.
I did not expect her to be quite so fearless. I knew she'd be fearless, but the fact that she was willing to wear the same clothes two episodes in a row, because that's real. The fact that her hair was a mess, because that's real. You know, the fact that she was, when in doubt, go honest, go authentic. It's a completely unvain performance and a fearless performance. And it's really, really, that took me off guard. And sorry, there's somebody from the set who's, hey, I'm just doing a phone interview.
Oh, perfect. Sorry, I just wanted to know, we're actually have no parking on the street between 3 and 5, so you might want to get to the other side, or you might get ticketed. I'm just moving all the vehicles.
Okay, I will move shortly, okay? Thank you. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sitting here in my car, and I'm hiding from set, and they found me.
Oh, you never know what can happen on a set, particularly on a Friday.
Yeah,
you never know.
I may have to move my car as I speak to you, but anyway, I'll sit here a few minutes longer and see if we can muster through.
Okay, we'll make do, we wonder. And as we do, let's remind everybody that you are hearing Taxi Cameron. She is the creator and executive producer of 10 Days in the Valley. It's ABC's new Sunday night drama, and you can see it starting this Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on your local ABC station. Taxi joins us live from Toronto, Canada, where she is in the middle of producing the second season of Mary Kills People, the critically acclaimed series that began in both Canada and in the United States on Lifetime this year, coming back early next year for season number 2. Any questions or comments for Taxi? Give us a call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll kick off October Monday on Tamami Televised. And by the way, in addition to the new shows that we're showcasing on today's hour, there's something else that's happening on Sunday, a brand new television network. It's Hallmark Drama. It's the third network from Crown Media Family Networks, the folks behind the Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. And Monday, my lead guest will be the head of Crown Media Family, Bill Abbott. We'll talk about Hallmark Drama, what it intends to do, not only bring back some of the best Hallmark stuff from years past, but also what they tend to do new and original, and they plan to do a lot of it. Bill Abbott will join me on the first half of the hour. On the second half of the hour, we'll meet a sitcom master, Beverly Kyle Evans. You may know him as the person who put the Jamie Foxx show on the map. He's got a new sitcom coming on Bounce TV. It's called Grown Folks, premiering next week. So Bill Abbott from Hallmark Drama, which premieres on Sunday, and head of Crown Media Family Networks, the parent of that venture, and Beverly Kyle Evans from Grown Folks on Bounce TV. They're both with us live Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. As you mentioned, your program is structured so that each hour represents a day. It's sort of very 24-ish in that it sort of had each episode fall in the same parameter. In that case, it was each hour of a particular day. What was it like to adapt your writing and that of your fellow writers in your room, let's say, to doing that kind of drama where you have the parameters of each episode per day?
I found it really exciting and fun as a kind of puzzle. And because we'd always seen the season like this, and I kind of broke it very, very loosely before I wrote the first episode. It was always baked into the premise of it for me, and even in the title, obviously. So I kind of had those plot points in my head as happening over 10 days. It was fun. It was a cool puzzle. You know, the biggest dilemma was when to put the title card, you know, day one, day two, because there are some episodes where it's the end of day three and the beginning of day four. So we were kind of, you know, trying to be real about it when that day started. It was fun.
Talk about the parameters of the program overall. Sedgwick plays a journalist, a single mom, and she wakes up one day, first day, and finds that her child is missing. And what was it important from that plot point to showcase, particularly in the first episode that's coming on Sunday?
What was it about that plot that was
important?
What
was about the premise that was important? Once you find out that her child is missing, what was important for that opening episode to set the tone of for the entire series?
There was a lot of stuff to pack into that, the opening act before the child gets taken. I really wanted to see Jane and Lake's relationship, and that's why you have this kind of hip hop sequence. You want to see that Jane, when she's with her daughter, is present and loving and there for her child. You also want to see that she's being torn by the demands of her job. You want to set up that she's in this kind of fractious relationship with her ex. I mean, there were a lot of things to try and set up before the child goes missing. Once it happens, then everybody in her life, the stress of the situation starts to unravel everybody in her life.
And then from episode two on, how did you sort of try to pace the episode so that you're able to get a lot of things in, but at the same time, we, the audience, sort of follow along with not only Sedgwick's crusade to get her child back, but also to see how she deals with everything else around her life and how that's all impacted by this incident?
It's a great question, and we wanted to keep the pace up all the way through and keep the twists and the turns coming so that you're surprised every episode that there's some element of kind of, oh God, I didn't imagine that was going to happen. But at the same time, this is a character piece, and which was very important to Kira. And so you have to find moments where you're exploring who this woman is and who the characters in her life are. And sometimes we do that by quieter scenes that are less about the mystery, and sometimes the flashbacks that we use in the first episode continue through the season, and I hope are quite illuminating and kind of more character driven.
How long was this program in development for? And I believe that last year ABC made the unique request to go straight to series on this. You didn't have to go through a pilot process. And that's very rare for broadcast network, even these days where we have a lot more straight-to-series orders than we used to. But particularly for broadcast network, this was something different. So I'm curious how the development process went. How different was it than, let's say, having to do a pilot for this and then waiting to see if the network would pick it up?
Well, it's funny because I've never had to do a pilot. In Canada, you don't have enough money to shoot pilots, so I've never had to shoot a pilot. So for me, in some ways, it was kind of more familiar than it was foreign to just go straight to series. But I realized kind of more in retrospect how unusual that was. So, I mean, I would say it was a very fast development. I wrote the first script in a month. I partnered with Skydance by that summer, and we were moving forward within the year with the writing room and started shooting last January. So it was pretty fast and pretty exciting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When did you first come up with the idea? How long ago?
I'm trying to remember. It was right after I'd wrapped season 6 of Rookie Blue. And I wrapped in October, and I wrote this in, I would say, March of the following year. I had kind of a few months where I sat there thinking that I was done and I was never going to write again, and I had no ideas and everything was hopeless. And then I kept having this nightmare, this recurring nightmare, and I thought, well, I'll write that, and at least maybe the nightmare will stop. And I wrote this very quickly in a month in my writing shed. And so it was a year and a half ago. Is that possible? 2.5 years? I'm so terrible with dates. It's all a blur.
Rookie Blue was really your big move into American television. Developed in Canada. ABC took the gamble on it as a summer series, and it ran 6 seasons. Do people still ask you about it or come up to you on the street and say, oh, you're the president of Rookie Blue. I enjoyed that every summer on ABC. Or I enjoyed it wherever it was running in Canada.
I can't tell you how many people still talk to me about that show. It was deeply loved, that show, which just warms my heart, I have to tell you. I have a baseball shirt that says Rookie Blue on it that I wear sometimes without meaning to, like without thinking about it, and people will stop me and say, oh my God, I'm so happy Sam and Andy got married. And, you know, people really responded to that show, and I still get probably more questions about it than I do anything else. Mm-hmm. We should revive it, maybe.
Do I hear that maybe Skydance or somebody might be inclined to give it a go?
To reviving Rookie Blue?
Yeah.
I have not spoken to them about that, but I have spoken to them about another police idea I have, so who knows? Who knows?
By the way, guest 744 is just coming to our chat room. Thanks for joining us on the program. If you have a question or a comment for our guest, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. One of the things that's been interesting over the last couple of years is that Canadian television has come up with particularly procedural dramas, police procedural dramas of one sort or another, that when they came to the United States, it's sort of like the critics don't get the buzz, but the audience ultimately discovers it. I'm thinking of programs like Paul Haggis' Due South, Flashpoint, which was also like your show, a summer series, and Rookie Blue. And it just seems that first it sort of quietly comes on the scene in terms of critical attention, but the audience discovers it, the audience builds the show, and then afterward the critics say, this is a far better show than we think. Was that the case with Rookie Blue also, that the critics sort of came in late and they finally discovered how good it was?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. And I remember I actually ran the first season of Flashpoint too, and that I remember it from that experience as well. That people would say, "Oh, this show seems so gentle and Canadian." In the case of Flashpoint, they don't. It's people. It's a SWAT team that wants to negotiate and talk. You know, how Canadian. And they'd sort of be gently mocking of it. And in the case of Rookie Blue, a similar vibe with the critics, but I think as we picked up steam with very little advertising, and we brought in a good show every summer our audience stayed solid. They followed us around from time slot to time slot and night to night, and I think people started to realize that the show was hitting, had some resonance for an audience, which was cool, you know. We just kept our heads down and did our thing.
Incidentally, Cassie, the creators of Flashpoint, Mark Stern and Stephanie Morgenson, were on our show when the program went to Ion Television after its run on CBS. They were wonderful. And I tell you, I started to see Flashpoint then, and I really believe it is a far better show than people really give it credit for. A lot of people at the time gave it credit for. I thought it was well-paced, really showed you a side of police life you don't normally see, but it also, I think, really got the tensions of what it takes to be on that SWAT team. And some of it was subtle, but a lot of it was gradual, if you will. And I thought the characters and the characterizations, the teamwork between the members in what they were dealing with, both on the scene and off, was very striking, very well done.
Yeah, I agree. And Mark and Stephanie are amazing, and I felt very blessed to get to work with them on that first season. And I learned a lot. It was the first Canadian show in a while since Due South, I think, that had an American broadcast partner. And it was very, very great way for me to learn how to balance two networks, two countries. And I'm glad you liked that show. I did too. It was ultimately, for me, I'm a bit more of a character writer, and so I found it hard to be quite so procedural for longer than one season. But I agree with you. I think it was a great show.
Mm-hmm. Talk about how you got started in your career, because I understand you've worked on both sides of the border. I read somewhere that you had actually worked at HBO for a while.
Oh my gosh, you've done your research. Yeah, I worked at HBO when there was a division called HBO NYC that did movies and miniseries, and I was a junior post-production executive there. But I went to New York to do my master's in film at NYU, and then I stayed in New York for my 20s, working in independent film, documentaries, and ultimately at HBO. So I have a huge soft spot for New York. I miss it deeply.
Mm-hmm. What does post-production teach you about production, and especially teach you about writing? What does post-production teach you, having that experience? What did that teach you about how you write a show, how you structure a show, how you bring or factor editing into the process?
Oh, I mean, having that experience in post-production was invaluable. I didn't know it at the time. I kept thinking, this is not where I'm meant to be. I'm not supposed to be sort of watching cuts to see if the color looks right. You know, I'm a storyteller. I don't, you know, I kind of resisted post-production for a while. But the fact that I was trained in that ultimately, and that I spent so much time in the editing rooms and watching stories being built in post has made it, I really understand the post process. I have huge respect and love for it. I'm glad I'm not a post supervisor anymore, but I feel like it's pretty good experience to have when you're in the editing room as a creator or a writer, to be able to know what magic you can accomplish in those suites, you know?
Kathy Cameron is the creator and executive producer of 10 Days in the Valley. It kicks off its run on ABC this Sunday night, which will be October 1st, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. She joins us live from Toronto, Canada, where she's working on another show that is becoming a very unique program. That's Mary Kills People, going into its second year next year on Lifetime. And if you have a question or comment for Kathy, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on the program, one of my guests will be a veteran executive producer who's just come out with a brand new book called The Showrunner. It's a guide to how you can produce television. And this person knows a lot about producing television. In the 1970s and 80s, he was one of the top executive producers, first for Universal and then for MGM. His credits, Ironside, The Bold Ones, and a little thing called Chips. Veteran executive producer Cy Chermak will be with me, the author of The Showrunner. He'll be here next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Tomorrow We Tell Us. And we're going to offer The Showrunner a prize in our Climate Trivia Question Contest a week from now. So be ready to go a week after next, because Cy's book could be yours if you have the correct answer. How is Mary Kills People going heading into season two?
Can you hear me again? I had to move my car. Can you hear me?
I can still hear you, Kathy. How is that Mary Kills
okay,
People going into a second
season? I'm so sorry. I should have obviously found a better place to do this.
That's okay. You're coming in loud, clear, and fine. So no issues there.
Okay.
How is Mary Kills People going into season two?
It's going great. We're having a wonderful time getting the band back together on this. And it's a hard show to do a second season of in some ways. But it's getting a little darker in places, but we're shooting some great stuff today with our Mary and Dez, our beloved duo, and they're as funny and charming as always. So it's great. It's really fun. We've added Rochelle Lefebvre to our cast this season. And she's a terrific new villain.
For those who don't know, Kathy, explain what the plot is about, because it's a very interesting, for those people who remember Dexter, this is sort of a semi-Dexter, but it has its own special charm.
Yeah, I mean, Mary Kills People is, as its title says, about a woman named Mary who's an emergency room doctor who is got a sideline business performing assisted suicide for the terminally ill with her partner in crime, Dev, a former plastic surgeon. So it's the two of them trying to do their life's work, their mission, something they believe in deeply. Of course, in the universe we're working in, it's illegal. They're being pursued by police. They're having to deal with drug dealers in order to get their supplies, and it gets them into quite a lot of trouble. But it's also very much a character drama with the themes of death and life and love and everything else. I'm really proud of Mary Kills People. I think it's a wonderful show.
It is, Kathy. And again, it was a case of when it first came out on Lifetime here in the U.S., the critics were sort of muted, but then they started to come in, and they love the show now. So is the audience, and it's great to see this coming back for a second season.
Yeah, thank you. We're really happy to be back. And you know, it's created by this amazing young writer named Tara Armstrong, who's just brilliant. So it's been great to be back in the saddle with her.
ABC premieres 10 Days in the Valley this Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Check it out if you can on your local ABC station. Check locally for where that station is in your area. For more details about the program online, go to abc.com. And coming up early next year on Lifetime, the second season of Mary Kills People, done by our guest, Kathy Cameron. Kathy, thank you again for joining us. All the very best with both shows. 10 Days with Tara, and also Mary Kills People. It's been a pleasure to have you on. And I'll tell you what, when Mary gets its due date for second season of Lifetime, we would love to have you back.
Oh, I would love to be back. And with any luck, next time I'll be in a nice, quiet place where I'm not moving my car around.
All right,
I'll be
you
even more entertaining.
For sure. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much.
Kathy Cameron. You got it. Kathy Cameron, the creator and executive producer of 10 Days in the Valley, executive producer of Mary Kills People on ABC and Lifetime, especially joining us live from the set of Mary Kills People in Toronto, Canada. More tomorrow's show is coming up, but first, some words from the fine folks at audible.com. If you're in the mood for a thriller by way of sound, namely audiobooks, check this one out. It's Harlan Coben's Don't Let Go, narrated by Stephen Weber of Wings fame. And you can get it right now if you become a trial subscriber to Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. You listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. And you get one free audiobook, like Don't Let Go, or one of your choice. 1 month trial of service, absolutely gratis, and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So give it a go. Hear for yourself why Audible.com can transform for you the way you hear the world. Audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. You're hearing Tomorrow Be Televised. We're the program all about the tube. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, Noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you came in late on today's program, or if you want to catch up on recent episodes, all you got to do is go to our homepage anytime you like. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. We also have the podcast version going. You can check it out at iTunes.com. If you have Apple TV, you can go to the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. Hear our show. Hear all the Blog Talk Radio shows there any old time you like. And by the way, with our podcast, you can download to your smartphone or tablet or take us on the go, share us with others, particularly on weekends like this weekend, which I understand is going to be really, really good. Incidentally, you can also check out some of the things I also do covering the world of television. You'll find them at MediaVillage.com. It's the wonderful media analysis and commentary site, 24/7 for the fine folks like Myers, Jack Myers, and Ed Martin, and all sorts of other wonderful people, Charlie Weiser. We're all together trying to give you a look at where TV and the rest of media is at. That's MediaVillage.com. When we come back, the trio behind Extinct, another major series that is premiering drama-wise on Sunday night, courtesy of BYU TV. We're joined by the co-creator and associate producer Aaron Johnson, producer Adam Abel, and director Ryan Middle. They will join us from Salt Lake City and Los Angeles after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected with the best internet radio on the planet. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for women to women. Join Wanda Carter and her crew tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow We Televise, our final episode, September 2017. Simon Apple Band with you live from New York. It's 65 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy you are with us. More good guests coming your way in this half hour ahead. Plus the answers to Scott's trivia question, and you'll hear who our latest winner is, with two prizes going that person's way. Well, you guys just be involved in the show, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. It's been a while since BYU-TV, that's Brigham Young University's national network, the only college university with a national television service with about 60 million subscribers or so on cable and satellite, has done a original drama series. The first one, which we've covered quite a bit on this program, was Granite Black. The second one premieres this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 Pacific. It's called Extinct. The co-writer of the series is Orson Scott Card, the famous science fiction writer, and the other co-writer of that series is with us right now. Join us live from Salt Lake City in Internet Radio Exclusive, co-creator and associate producer Aaron Johnson. Hello, Aaron.
Hi.
And joining both of us from Salt Lake City as well, the producer, Adam Abel, and from Los Angeles, the director, Ryan Little. Adam and Ryan, welcome aboard.
Hey.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, Aaron, how
are you? Very, very fine, thank you. Welcome to all three of you. Aaron, how did this series happen?
Well, initially, the genesis of this was I had known Ryan Little from my days in college. I assisted Ryan in his senior film project, and we've kind of stayed in touch with each other since then. I've followed Ryan's career, and he approached me at a science fiction fantasy convention. He was in town, and we met, and, you know, Ryan has produced several independent features that have gotten a lot of attention and acclaim. Many of them have been period war films regarding World War II. And Ryan says to me, you know, I've done all these war films. I'd really like to do an independent science fiction feature. And so we talked about it, and we discussed the challenges of doing independent science fiction films. But we persevered despite those challenges. I brought in Orson Scott Card to help develop the film. And by the time I had a script for the feature, BYU-TV met with our producer, Adam Abel, and said, hey, you know, we're looking for a new scripted television show. What are you working on? And Adam told him about Extinct, and BYU asked, well, this sounds interesting. Could it be television series? And Adam returned to me and asked, hey, this is an intriguing concept to them. Could Extinct be a television series? And I said, no, it's not structured to be a television series. It's structured to be a feature film. But Adam very wisely asked, okay, well, what if it was a TV series? How would we structure it differently? So we destructured the feature film, kept the core premise of the show, reinvented it as a television series, and pitched it to BYU because as you know, a television series has to be intriguing. It has to have new stories every episode, but it can't have a conclusion like a film does, because television is ongoing. So but fortunately, there was a great team at BYU. Scott Swofford, who was the content director at the time, just a brilliant, gifted producer of television himself, became enamored with the idea, and here we are, 10 episodes in the can, ready to premiere.
Adam, when you went with BYU-TV, in the back of your mind were you thinking, BYU-TV has a place to do this series? They want to do science fiction. This is a college that is doing a national network. Now, they had done original drama before, Granite Flats, which ran three seasons. And we've covered them on this program. Scott, in fact, I've been on our show a number of times. But yet still, there are a lot of people who around the country don't know about how ambitious this network is. So I'm curious, when you met with them, was there something in the back of your mind, can we really pull this off?
Well, that was the reasoning to meet with Scott initially, was just to see the exciting things that they've been doing. I mean, they were coming off the success that they've seen with their first scripted drama of Granite Flats, and Scott speaking about trying to expand the viewership to the network that, of course, is available in the 60 million homes, as you've mentioned, and looking at opportunities to do things that would be unexpected. And that's the exciting part about seeing Extinct on BYU television, is because it is a perceived unexpected thing. And I'm excited about all the new and unique content that they're exploring and pursuing. And so for Extinct to be a part of that mix is an exciting time. And so, yeah, while there was this initial reaction, and even in our process of going forward with building the team to do it, people going, wait, this show's which network is this? So it's exciting to be a part of what of BYU TV's vision to expand the perception and reach of the audience that they service and try to do something exciting for the network.
Ryan, it seems that you held on to the view of, no, this must be a film. This must be a film. This must be a film. What was sort of the turning point that convinced you maybe this could work as a series and maybe I could be fine with that?
Well, basically, after Adam had a meeting with Scott about this being a TV show, he came back and he talked to us, as Aaron mentioned before. So we immediately powwowed about it, and we said, you know what? Let's get together with Orson Scott Card. Let's visit and let's brainstorm and see what could happen. And we spent a few days together and discussed it in length. And then Aaron took all of those conversations and things and kind of outlined something and presented it to us, and we all felt good about it. And I said, okay, yeah, you know, let's do this. And everybody was on board, and so we took that back to BYU and they were excited about it. So I think once Aaron had kind of taken everything that we had discussed and all the great ideas that he had and the things that Forson had to say, I think we could start to see the vision of changing direction a little bit, but still keeping the core essence of what the show was going to be as a feature or as a series.
Well, I welcome guest 758 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name. Come on in, contribute, put your thoughts in the room or question in the room, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Aaron, this series takes place 400 years into Earth's future, and it's not a happy future for us Earthlings. Explain the plot from there.
Well, the concept of the show is that the human race has been annihilated by an alien race. We are extinct. And you're right. There is not a human condition worse than that. everything that we've established as a species, everything we've built as human beings is gone. It doesn't get bleaker than that. But the show isn't bleak. The show is actually a show of hope, I think, because what happens in the series, the core premise is 400 years after the extinction of the human race, a benevolent alien species, seemingly benevolent anyway, begins to reconstitute a few humans and with the stated purpose of restoring the human race. But our reborns, as we call them, these humans that have been reconstituted, quickly learn that there are new dangers and threats that exist in the world that threaten to annihilate the human race all over it. They're somewhat skeptical of their benefactors because they suspect that there's an ulterior motive here in restoring the human race. So it's a survival story. It's about these three individuals who don't know each other, but who have their memories from their previous life when they fought during the invasion 400 years ago. So they know who they are, but they don't understand why they've been restored to life and what their purpose is yet on Earth again. So it's a pretty bleak situation for them, but I think the show really appeals to the network and to the network's audience, because despite these terrible conditions, despite this awful situation that these reborns find themselves in, this is a show about the human condition, about how we define who we are. Is it our memories that define us? Is it our biology that defines us? And how do we come together as a community, not only to survive, but to restore what it means to be human? So there's a lot that the show has to offer, I think.
By the way, the actors who play these main characters are Chad Michael Collins, who was in a film called Sniper, Victoria Atkins, who was in the Assassin's Creed movie of a year or two ago, and York Fryer, who has been seen on ABC's How to Get Away with Murder. The series we're talking about is Extinct, and it premieres on BYU TV Coast to Coast this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific time. Incidentally, if you don't have BYU in your area on cable and satellite, you can still see the premiere at those hours. How? By using Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire TV, all smart TV connected devices. We're talking with the co-creator and associate producer Aaron Johnson, producer Adam Abel, and director Ryan Little. They're joining us from Salt Lake City and Los Angeles, respectively, this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tommy Applebaum, here with you live from Nueva York, 65 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy you're with us. To all of our Jewish listeners, we hope that you're getting set for a very reflective Day of Atonement coming up tonight and for the 24 hours thereafter, making a safe and easy fast, and we are delighted that you are with us. If you have a question or comment, join us, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name is guest 758, is doing at blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, coming up on our show Monday, another great hour to kick off October for you. First up, Bill Abbott, the president of Crown Media Family Networks, whose latest service, Hallmark Drama, also premieres on Sunday. And then sitcom master Bentley Kyle Evans, remember him from the Jamie Foxx Show, and from other sitcoms on Bounce TV. He's got a new Bounce sitcom coming out next week called Grown Folks. So Bill Abbott and Bentley Kyle Evans both join us for a great hour. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Adam, how did your writers with Adam, with Orson, with Aaron work together with the actors to try to come up with this environment? And where did you shoot the show?
I'm sorry, who did you ask the question to? I'm sorry.
Yes, so how did you coordinate with the actors, with Ryan, with the writers led by Aaron Orson, the environment that the show takes place in, and where did you go to shoot the program, to photograph it?
Sure. So, Adam, I'll go ahead and answer that. I think that's who you asked. But, obviously the opportunity to explore the world that Aaron and Orson Scott Card has created, it was fun. And to be able to find environments in which they could write to was one of the reasons that we initially started this to be shot in Utah as a feature, and then, of course, ultimately became the television series that was shot here in Utah just because of the aesthetics that are available there and the diversity in the landscape for, you know, alpine mountain versus desert landscape was just a great place to be able to come and shoot and be able to put the actors in those environments and them being able to respond to the material that is written by Aaron and Scott to be able to bring the characters to life within this. It's just a nice to see all the pieces of the puzzle come together. And obviously with Ryan directing the lion's share of the episode, 7 of the 10 episodes, you know, he and directing the pilot of it specifically, you know, set the tone of what that is, and working closely with Aaron as they both co-showrun the series and be able to working with all the different creative aspects that come to it, whether it be the initial set design and creation or to now in the post-production side of things with the sound designs and composition and certainly the volume and huge undertaking of visual effects led by our fantastic visual effects supervisor, Devin Beacons. But all of those things coming together and those pieces come together, it's been a fantastic experience. One that has been probably one of the most challenging thing, I can speak only for myself, but I'm sure that Aaron and Ryan would echo this, that we've all done, but also what we anticipate being one of the most rewarding because of the way that we expect an audience to respond to what has been created.
Aaron Orson is a very popular science fiction author. I believe he has done some television work, but it's more, I believe it's anthological, into the episode here, episode there. Is this the first television series he has done as a series? And if so, what was his approach with your input?
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, unless he's keeping secrets from me, I think this is the first show that Scott Card has produced. Of course, he's been a legend in the science fiction community for decades now with all of his novels, particularly Ender's Game and that whole series. Working with him on this series has been great. You know, Scott and I have collaborated on many things before now. We've written several novels together. We've done several comic book series together. You know, I was an associate producer on the film Ender's Game and assisted in the film. So Scott and I have a very long history of collaborating. We know each other very, very well. We know how each other's minds work. And we're very comfortable sitting down and having story sessions and hashing out what could potentially be the trajectory for a series like this. So when I approached Scott, you know, in my opinion, not only is he a brilliant writer, but he's a brilliant world builder. And by that, that's a term we use in speculative fiction to suggest that, you know, how does a different world function? And what are all the aspects of that world that we must consider? And this is, you know, Scott has an incredible imagination. And so I thoroughly enjoy sit downing with him because I just sit in awe as he just kind of riffs on ideas. But, you know, we always wanted to create a show that a kind of show that he and I would want to watch, right? A show that we would find entertaining. What's been great about working with BYU TV is they haven't pushed us in any certain direction. They've given us quite a bit of latitude to tell the stories that we want to tell. You know, Extinct is an ensemble series. You know, every single one of our characters could be considered a lead in the show because they're all important and they all have great stories to tell. So for me, with Scott, we always focus on character, on who these people are, what motivates them, why they're interesting, why they make the choices they do. Scott Card has a long history of telling stories where people are put in very, very difficult situations, and they have to choose not between good and evil, but they have to choose between two goods, right? They have to make very difficult moral decisions. You know, if you have, for example, if you have this isn't a case on the show necessarily, but these are the kind of moral dilemmas that Scott and I considered. If you had the option of restoring, say, 100 human beings or the 4 people in your immediate family, what would you choose, right? Would you choose your family, the people that you love, that you're endeared to, or would you make the better choice for the human race and restore 100 random humans and increase this genetic diversity or whatever? And those are hard questions to answer, but they're similar in some respects to the questions that our heroes have to answer on the show. You know, we as humans, we think in a macro universe. We think of humanity is the people immediately around us, our wives, our children, our parents, and this is our universe. And so when we put these people in this situation where the families no longer exist, how do we function? How do we operate as a community? What alliances do we form? How do we survive? How do we maintain who we are as humans? Because our relationships essentially are define us. So I love sitting down and having these kind of conversations with Scott Card, and it has been a joy to work with him as we've developed the series and developed these characters. And again, BYU has been tremendously supportive, as have Adam and Ryan, who think like we do and who value what I do as a storyteller. And it's been a tremendous experience for all 4 of us.
Ryan, a lot of your work has been independent film, although you did a couple of episodes of Granite Flats during its run. We're seeing more and more directors, whether they're either television directors, newbies from whatever, or have been in for years, or filmmakers who come into television take the approach of, I'm going to shoot this series like a movie, whether it's a 10-hour movie or a 13-hour movie, and we're going to make it a cinematic as we possibly can, or take a cinematic feel, lifestyle approach to it. Once the decision was made, this is a series, not one film, what was your attitude toward this? Was it, all right, we'll shoot this like a 10-hour movie as opposed to episode by episode, or did you sort of work a compromise out, or how did you approach things?
Well, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, I had done a couple episodes of Granite Flats, and I had actually also did some shadowing on some other TV series, so I had already kind of known going into this that you can't approach it like a movie, not really. I mean, if you're brought in as a director for, say, one episode of a show, then you can keep that mindset because you're just there for that, you know, that one episode and you're gone. So you can treat it like a mini movie. But in the case for myself, where I was directing quite a few episodes, I really couldn't treat it like a movie. I had to treat it as individual pieces because I was trading off with another director. And so it was a little bit of a different mindset. The pacing of it is very similar to an independent film. You know, you do like 7, 8, 9 pages sometimes a day. You have to really hustle. And you try to put a style to the show, but with very limited time. So you kind of have to pre-plan very, very specifically so that when you are running, you are like not stopping. You have to just keep going. And so you kind of have to know going into it ahead of time what your attack plan is going to be. On a feature, you can kind of slow down a little bit sometimes and can catch your breath. So I think TV is a great training ground for filmmakers, either feature filmmakers or TV filmmakers, just to think fast, you know, think quick. But in some ways, it definitely feels like we are making 5 feature movies at a time, and that's pretty insane to do.
Aaron, what does this series say in terms of lessons about how we as people should be so that we don't 400 years earlier in the future get annihilated?
Well, I mean, you know, what I really like about BYU TV is their tagline as a network is "See the good in the world," right? And I applaud them for that. You know, we have so many television shows, so much content available to us that's pretty dismal, it's pretty dark, that essentially teaches us that humans are awful people, that we're a selfish species, that we only care for satisfying our own passions, and I don't believe that. I don't think any of us involved in this project believe that. I actually have a great deal of faith in humanity and in what we can accomplish both on a macro and a micro scale. So I think that's one of the reasons why I think Extinct is such a good fit for BYU TV, because even though the show takes place you know, in this, as I mentioned, this universe that really there is no worst post-apocalyptic situation for us because there are no humans. So even though we exist in this universe, the show actually you know, is full of a lot of heart. It's focused on, you know, what we really value as a species and what we really value as individuals and what define us as individuals. So even though we're in this terrible situation, we really are seeing good in the world as it exists in Extinct, which is on its surface a dismal place. So, you know, it's been a delight to work with the network, and they've been so supportive. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised because you say post-apocalyptic, you know, as a genre, and that just elicits a lot of ideas in people's heads that are pretty dark, that are pretty dismal, really violent, and that isn't Extinct. You know, it's not something that you'll see on the Lifetime channel, I'd say, because it's not romance in the sense that, well, there is romance on the show, but it's an action adventure, science fiction, family friendly series, and it's been done before, at least not in a very long time. And so I think we'll find that there's an audience for the show because there are people who think like we do, in that there is much to be said about the human race, about humanity, that is quite positive.
The adventure begins this Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, and 6 p.m. Pacific on BYU TV. The program is called Extinct. It's co-written by Orson Scott Card, the famous science fiction author, and one of our guests today, co-creator and associate producer Aaron Johnson. Again, it's Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Pacific on BYU TV. Available in more than 60 million households around the country by cable and satellite, so check your local listings for where it's available in your area. If it's not available in your area, you still can see it on Sunday night if you have Apple TV, Amazon Fire, and other smart TV devices. More details about the program online, here's where you go, BYUTV.org. That's BYUTV.org. Aaron, Adam, Ryan, thank you all for joining us. Congratulations on getting this show off the ground, and hopefully Sunday night is the beginning of a wonderful and long run.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome, all of you. Take care. Have a sensational weekend.
All righty. Bye now.
Yeah. Aaron Johnson, producer Adam Abel, and director Ryan Little, all joining us live from Salt Lake City and from Los Angeles, respectively. And now it's time for the answer to this week's classic trivia question. And for the first time in about a month, we have a winner. The winner this week is Adam Sommer from Brooklyn, New York. Here was the question that he had to answer. It was, in the original ABC miniseries version of Stephen King's classic novel, It, who played Pennywise the Clown? The answer, Tim Curry. Tim Curry played Pennywise in the original TV version of It, which was produced on ABC nearly 27 years ago in 1990. And, of course, it's the movie, $500 million worldwide at the box office, and maybe a sequel in the works. So congratulations, Adam. You were the first correct answer this week with our classic trivia question. So you're going to be getting the DVD set of The Story of Us with Morgan Freeman coming to Nat Geo Wednesday, October 11th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. And you're also getting The Siren Chronicles Book 1 by Power Rangers author Doug Sloan, who was on this program a number of weeks ago. Congratulations, Adam. We'll have a new classic trivia question for you on Monday's show. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you missed the program on Monday, you can I'll post the question Tuesday morning on Facebook and my Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. Thanks to all of our guests today for being here and all of you for listening. We are back on Monday with Crown Media Family Network President Bill Abbott, whose new service Hallmark Drama premieres on Sunday, and Family Kyle Evans, whose new sitcom Grown Folks premieres next week on Bounce TV. At 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Remember, we're available on podcast 24/7 at iTunes.com, and also if you have Apple TV, the iTunes podcast app. Remember, we can always be in communication at simonapple04@yahoo.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter. We really appreciate what you have to say, because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Eddie Toast, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Steinberg, is executive content producer. The co-founders, Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Tell About is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. But Tomorrow We Tell About, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. For all of you celebrating Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, today marking that reflective holiday, please have a safe and easy fast. What you need to do, please do it. And we'll have all of you back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Whatever you're up to this weekend, please be safe and be great. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.